acts. And then he adds, my pride still tempts me to put on the best front, to clean up appearances. Despite Philip Yancey's and our prideful tendencies to clean up appearances and to try to look like good Christians to others, Yancey recognizes we creatures give glory to God by our dependence. Our wounds and defects are the very fissures through which grace might pass. It is our human destiny on earth to be imperfect, incomplete, weak, and mortal. And only by accepting our destiny can we escape the force of gravity and receive grace. Only then can we grow close to God. So as we begin worship this morning and take some time just to prepare your heart, reflect upon that, that God's grace is here upon us, not because we are all really good, perfect Christians, but because we're all struggling, imperfect human beings, recipients of the grace, the overabounding love of God. Prepare your hearts for worship. Stand, let's sing together, Rejoice, Ye Pure in Heart.
Thank you. use in prayer of thanksgiving. Loving God, you have promised never to leave us or forsake us. For this we thank you. You have promised to be with us to the very end of the age. For this we thank you. You have promised that nothing will be able to separate us from your love. For this we thank you. At our lowest, you are our hope. At our darkest, you are our light. At our weakest, you are our strength. At our saddest, you are our comfort. For this, rejoice in you. Amen. You may be seated.
Let us give to the Lord of our tithes and our offerings. And it was pointed out to me this week that that many of you give online or have that deducted from your bank account, and we really appreciate that. For those of you who are able to give on a Sunday morning, we appreciate that also. The needs of our church are great for the ministries and the upkeep on all of this ministry, this church, and so we depend upon your giving, and we hope that the Lord will guide you to give in the way that the Lord directs you to do so. This morning we have some special music for our offertory, and a little bit later as well from Virginia and from Bob. I'm thankful for the gifts you've given to us. I thank you for the gifts that you've given to Virginia and Bob, and for their music, how they're able to bless us in that way. You've gifted us all in different ways, and some of us can serve by helping on a Sunday morning with the refreshments, some by the gifts of music, some by prayer, some by just that friendliness with which we greet others in the pews. Whatever it is, Lord, whatever way in which you've gifted us, help us to use those gifts to your glory, to the uplifting of the hearts and the lives of others around us. We pray as well for the gifts that were given this morning financially. We pray that you'd use those to further the work you're doing in and through this church. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and we get the opportunity for some more special music. And I believe Bob plays for the Phoenix Symphony, is that right?
Chandler Symphony.
So we have a real gift of this morning for us. Thank you. Loving God, it is a real joy and privilege for us to lift up our prayers for people whom we care about and needs around us. We pray for a couple of folks that have been part of this church family and have not been able to be here with us in recent weeks. We pray for Hazel Bacon and for Evelyn Hawes. We pray that you would continue to strengthen them, and while they're not here, meet with them, Lord, and be their strength, their encouragement. We pray for Jerry Shaw, as she's not feeling well today, and pray that you'd renew her strength soon. We pray for Beverly Brooks as she continues to be in a great amount of pain. Pray that you would guide her, help her to be able to manage that. We pray that you'd ease that pain, provide the help that she needs. We lift up to you, Carol Maxwell, as Carol, this Wednesday, we'll have her cochlear implant turned on, and we pray that all will go well with that and that you would bless her with the renewal of sound for her. We pray that all will go well. We pray for Billy Lewis, as she's not been feeling well. Take care of her. We pray for Jerry and Joyce Hewitt. Thanks that Jerry is back with us today, and pray that you'd watch over Joyce. Give her a lot of good days, and in those tough days, we pray that you would provide a peace from above that stills her heart. We pray that you will care for the people and the ministries of our Savior Lutheran Church. We pray for your work in and through Heart Pantry as they provide lunches for homeless high school students. Pray that they would use that ministry to help turn those lives around and provide a future for them. Lord, we know in Scripture, you tell us that those who are poor in spirit are blessed by you. And we confess, Lord, that we're not always good at being poor in spirit. We have an easier time copying Philip Yancey and pretending like everything is good in our lives and not admitting to the struggles we face. But Lord, help us to know that being poor in spirit means that our hearts can be open to be filled by you. So Lord, help us not to put on a pretense that everything is good, but to be willing to come to you in our need to be filled by your strength. We pray these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And let's sing together. You don't have to stand for this, but let's sing together. Well, I don't know, Great is Thy Faithfulness is one of those that's tough to sit down. So let's go ahead and stand, and if you're able, and sing together, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
Today's reading is from the first letter of Peter, chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. God of great wisdom, you are beyond our imagining, beyond our control, and sometimes beyond our comfort zone. You amaze us. You have given us more than we could ever earn or deserve. And in response, we are not only grateful, but determined to be faithful stewards. Receive our worships this day, O God. Speak to us in the sounds and silence of this hour, and amaze us once again in your presence. Amen.
Psalm 126 is a song that I'm not familiar with. It's new to me, but it ties in with the scripture we're going to be looking at this morning, so we're going to give that a try. Great job with that. So we have been working through the Psalms of Ascent, and today we are up to Psalm 126. And again, we just sang it, but here are the words from Scripture. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev. Excuse me. May those who sow in tears reap with joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, will come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. This is the word of the Lord. Psalm 126 is a psalm that was written for those who know what it's like to wander in a desert, either a literal desert or a figurative desert. It is a psalm that was written to those who have experienced the heat of the sun or the heaviness of life pressing down upon them. It is a psalm to those who know what it is like to be tired and thirsty, with your energy depleted, longing for water, praying for rain, and waiting, and waiting, and waiting. Psalm 126 was written for a people whose history was full of deserts, both literal and figurative. It was written to a people who had endured hundreds of years of slavery in Egypt, then a 40-year trek through the desert before crossing the Jordan River. It was written to a people who faced hundreds of years of harassment from surrounding nations, who went through internal schism that tore their nation apart, and who were dragged away as captives, forced to live for decades in the land of the nation that had conquered them. Psalm 126 was written for anyone who deals with personal hardships, with chronic pain, with life's disappointments, with heartaches and tragedies, or with prayers that remain unanswered day after day, or month after month, or year after year. The psalm begins with rejoicing when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. We were like those who dream. Then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. These opening songs, verses, speak of fortunes being restored, of dreams being answered, of mouths being filled with laughter, of tongues shouting with joy, and of people far and near recognizing the great things that God has done for his people. But almost as if it was snuck into these opening verses is the subtle reminder that things are not always cheerful. The psalmist rejoices over fortunes that have been restored. But if fortunes have been restored, then that's a recognition that fortunes had been taken away from them, that they had been robbed of their fortunes. They had been robbed of their land and driven away as exiles into a foreign country. So even as they rejoice, they do so with a recognition of the struggles that they have been through and that life contains many such struggles. This dynamic becomes particularly clear as the psalm moves on to verse 4, where we are reminded that our fortunes are like the watercourses of the Negev. Verses 5 and 6 continue the momentum by reminding us that our joy has grown out of seeds of weeping. So let's examine those closing verses of this psalm more carefully. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negev. On most days, the watercourses of the Negev, the Judean desert, are dry ruts. They are but rocky and sandy creases in the barren land. But on those occasional times when rain clouds build up overhead and release their contents upon the desert, those otherwise dry riverbeds fill with life-giving water. The water brings plants to life and provides life-giving sustenance to desert creatures. Describing the desert that surrounds the Sun City, the desert that we're familiar with, Christian Peterson writes, "The Sonoran Desert, while still arid, is lush compared to other deserts. Supporting over 2,000 species of plants, rains in the spring produce incredible flushes of greenery and flowers as the plants, dormant for most of the year, take advantage of the rain. Saguaro cacti reach enormous size, collecting and storing immense amounts of water when it does rain, and surviving for months until the next rainfall. Most deserts get what little precipitation they do receive in a few heavy rainfalls, rather than many light rains spread out over the course of the year. This leads to seasonal lakes and rivers which may last a few months or even only a few days." If the prayer of this psalm is for God to restore our fortunes like the watercourses of the Negev, then this is a prayer that recognizes that our fortunes may not come down, sprinkling down upon us every day. But it is a prayer that takes hope in the certainty that when God's gifts come to us, when they do come to us, they will replenish our thirsty souls and renew life in us. There is a richness to the beauty of the desert, and there is a beauty to what God does in our lives through our desert experiences. Jim Cimbala has a grasp on this. He writes, "God is trying to do more than give us a smooth life. He is trying to make us like Jesus. He cares more about producing Christ-likeness than he does about the American dream. Suffering prepares us to serve others in similar predicaments." Paul opens the book of 2 Corinthians by praising the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the suffering of Christ flows over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. And Cimbala goes on and says, "God knows that times of trouble are part of the human condition. How else can he raise up an army of anointed comforters in his name unless they have been through fire themselves? Then with authority and conviction, they can reach out to troubled souls saying, 'I do know what you're going through. I've been there myself, and I can tell you that God's grace is sufficient. Hold on, he will bring you through.'" Fortunes that are restored to us with the frequency with which watercourses in the Negev are filled teach us what it truly means to live by faith. A Psalm 126 type of faith teaches us steadfastness and perseverance. We do not live a vending machine type of prayer, type of faith, that blessings spurt out to us every time we plop up a prayer. No, we live a water courses in the Negev type of faith, where we learn to hold on to hope even through the dry seasons, trusting in the midst of that desert that God's goodness will yet come through. A Psalm 126 type of faith teaches us gratitude. It teaches us to appreciate every large or small gift, every large or small life-restoring gift that comes down to us from God. It teaches us to value dearly every blessing God sends our way. I don't know whether you're aware of this or not, but a camel's hump stores fat. For the camel, as it trudges through the desert where there is little food, then it has a fat supply in its hump that it relies upon during those days where it goes without food. In the course of that time, that hump loses its fat and it droops. It loses that until the camel has an opportunity to rest and to eat again and then restores that hump. We need a camel-like hump of faith in our lives for when we go through those dry desert times where there is not a lot of refreshment and sustenance. The best way to develop a camel-like hump of faith is through a heart of gratitude. It is a heart of gratitude that stores up faith and hope in our souls. The Psalm 126 type of faith teaches us also to live with concern and with compassion for one another. Desert experiences make it clear to us how much we need one another. We need the encouragement of one another. We need the friendship and companionship of one another. We need the help of one another when we're going through those desert times. And going through those desert times can soften our hearts to the struggles and the needs of others, so that, as Paul pointed out in 2 Corinthians, we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the Negev. And then it goes on. It says, may those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, will come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. How are we supposed to respond to the desert experiences in our lives? What is an appropriate reaction from us when we find ourselves hit by personal tragedies, chronic pain, heartaches, and hardships? Nat King Cole saying, smile though your heart is aching. Smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. If you smile through your fear and sorrow, smile, and maybe tomorrow, you'll see the sun come shining through for you. Light up your face with gladness. Hide every trace of sadness. Although a tear may be ever so near, that's the time you must keep on trying. Smile. What's the use of crying? You'll find that life is still worthwhile if you just smile. The popular advice of our society is that if you want to reap a crop of happiness, you need to sow a lot of smiles. But if what we sow is only a mask of happiness, what we will reap is merely what we pretended was there. If what we sow is hypocrisy, what we will reap is still hypocrisy. If, on the other hand, we want to reap a joy that is real, that is genuine, that is lasting, we need to plant that which is real. If our tears are what is real to us as we go through those desert experiences of our lives, then what we need to do is plant our tears. To plant our tears in the fertile soil of God's love. In the soil of God's love, our tears and our weeping will be transformed into the fruit of joy. So I don't think that Nat King Cole's song is really the solution for us. I think this song is the real solution. Bring to God what is real in your heart, in your soul, in your life. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul explained that the seed that is sown dies and comes up from the ground in a glorious new form. And that's what happens when we deposit our tears in the rich soil of God's love. They come to new life in the fruit of joy. In his book, The Emotionally Healthy Church, Peter Scanzoni points out, John Milton, in Paradise Lost, compares the evils of history to a compost pile, a mixture of decaying substances such as animal excrement, vegetable and fruit peels, potato skins, eggshells, dead leaves, and banana peels. If you cover it with dirt, after some time, it smells wonderful. The soil has become a rich, natural fertilizer and is tremendous for growing fruit and vegetables. But you have to be willing to wait. In some cases, years. If God can do such a miracle with decaying substances and with the evils of history, He can certainly do the same with the tears that we deposit in His care. A Psalm 126 type of faith encourages us to be real with God about our sorrows, about our heartaches. For it is in the midst of being real with God that God does His greatest work in us. Psalm 126 is a psalm of ascent. It is a song that was sung by the Jewish people on their way to Jerusalem to make their pilgrimages. John J. Alvaro tells about one of the things the people did when they arrived in Jerusalem. He writes, "During the high holy days, people would come into the Temple Mount through a main gate and create a huge line that went around the outer perimeter, which would wrap a mile around. Everyone lined up in one direction, moving toward the center. This would be one of only a handful of times each year when all of Israel would gather together. People would see relatives and friends they had missed for months. They'd catch up on each other's lives. She had a baby. He got married. They planted a new crop. But if someone was in mourning, if their heart had broken to pieces during those months apart, then they did not walk the line with everyone else. They would walk the Temple Mount for a mile in the other direction, against traffic, in the sight of all Israel. No one could ignore it, and they therefore told about their grief by putting one foot in front of the other." A Psalm 126 type of faith sees no reason to hide or to disguise our tears. For when we plant our tears in the rich soil of God's love, we end up with the joy of God. When we unload the sorrows from our hearts, depositing them in God's care, then our hearts have room to be filled with God's love, presence, joy, and strength, and hope. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the river, like the watercourses of the Negev. Those who sow in tears, may those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Let's pray. Lord God, we live in a desert. Literally, and sometimes figuratively as well. We know what it's like to be thirsty, physically and spiritually. We know what it's like to be worn down, run down, praying for refreshment, and waiting, and waiting, and waiting. Teach us, Lord, a Psalm 126 type of faith, a faith of steadfastness, perseverance, a faith of gratitude for every large and small life-restoring gift that you send. And teach us in the midst of the desert compassion and concern for others. And Lord, teach us to be real with you, to pour out our hearts, not to put on a mask of smiles, but to genuinely bring our hearts to you so you can deal with what's genuine and build in us a genuine joy. Be with us this week as we struggle with these things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand if you're able and sing together "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
Thank you.
the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, He has done great things for them. You have done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with joy. Those who go out bearing the seed of sorrow will come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. May all God's people say, Amen. And we invite you to some time of fellowship over in Swain Hall and a time just to get to know each other better.